Lakshmi, for those of you who may not know, in the Indian tradition that this class grows out of, we work with various deity fields. So Lakshmi is the energy of magnificence, abundance, fabulousness, good fortune. The most, whatever Lakshmi touches, it becomes better. Lakshmi is the sweetness that makes everything wonderful. It's so interesting, this life. So we had Thanksgiving here, and Bhagusha, who cleans my house, cleaned on Wednesday, which was perfect. But then dinner was over, and we were just cleaning up, and I think Kobe and Keith were probably saying, God, it's too bad, you know, you had the house cleaned, it was so clean, and now it's a mess again. But I said, but no, because it's clean underneath the mess. It's really quite clean underneath the mess. And it's true. And it's the same with Lakshmi. It's there, that sense of splendor, that sense of inner magnificence, that sense of just infinite and wondrous possibility, that sense of wonder and that sense of grace, just that sense of ease. Lakshmi is really, it's like when Lakshmi is flowing, life is easy. And it's like the house. We may not necessarily feel it. We may be feeling rather dry and contracted and depressed or whatever. But underneath that, there's Lakshmi. You know, underneath that, there is that sense of, yes. And I think it's so helpful to remember that no matter how twisted up we may get ourselves on the inside, all we have to do is unwind, and there it is. We always tell the story of Lakshmi when we do Lakshmi practice. It's kind of like Passover, you know, you have to tell the story over and over again. So the story of the birth of Lakshmi is a very interesting story because it starts with a war between the gods and the demons. And as always happens in Indian mythology, the demons are always winning. And, you know, you want to understand that the demons represent the stuff inside of us that keeps us from living in that infinite Lakshmi possibility. And in these stories, the demons are always winning, which is such a metaphor for our lives. It's so much easier to get mired in the small, yucky stories than to stay in that sense of wonder and mystery and radiance and magnificence that's so personified in a goddess like Lakshmi. So the stories are very true. You know, the stories are very beautiful blueprints of the psyche. And in this particular story, again, the demons are winning and the gods, who represent obviously our more exalted qualities, are getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, we all know this terrain. How many times have you gotten really inspired to do something? It could be anything. Quit smoking, start an exercise thing, start getting up every morning at 4:30 so you can journal before the day goes, paint, make music, be more playful, whatever, all those New Year's resolution-y kind of things that we're forever making. And we're good for a little bit, and then it goes away. And that's really what the story is about. It's about that tension between that and us, which, you know, really wants to just rise up and bloom, and that which is just sort of happier, pulling it all down and hiding. That's another way to think of the demons. The demons are that inside of us that really wants to hide. And the gods are that inside of us that really wants to shine. And this story is about how important it is for those two aspects to make an alliance. and work together. And so that's what's happened in the story. The demons are winning. The gods are getting weaker and weaker and weaker. They go to the big Trinity, Godhead. In Hinduism, there's the three. There's Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And they're just sort of the triple aspect of the supreme deity field. So these are the lesser gods. So they go to the Godhead, the supreme Godhead, and they say, "Help." So Vishnu, who is the aspect of the Godhead that is, if you think of cosmic function, there's basically three cosmic functions. There's creation, there's sustaining of the creation, and then there's death, aka transformation of the creation. So that's all the Godhead represents. It's the three aspects of creation. So the Brahma is considered the creator, Vishnu is the sustainer, Shiva is the transformer, or sometimes referred to as the destroyer, but that's got a bit of a negative connotation. So nowadays we say transformation. So, and Vishnu tends to be the spokesman. So they go to Vishnu, and he says, here's what you need to do. You need to make an alliance with the demons, and you need to churn this ocean of milk, which is a mythical place in the stories, and you need to churn the ocean of milk, and for this you have to make an alliance with the demons. You have to work together to churn the ocean of milk. And when you churn and churn and churn, in the churning, different things will come. And at the end of your churning, the precious dew of life will come. And drink that, and that will restore you. And the way you can get the demons to work with you is just tell them you'll share the precious dew of life with them. And everything's cool. So this is what happens. So they go, they make an alliance, yada, 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 and they churn the ocean of milk. And even that, you know, you want to really think about, because every element of the story is a metaphor. And, you know, think about milk. What is milk? I mean, it's the most nutritious, right? This is the first food that gives us life. So if you think about the ocean of milk, this is like the maha. This is the huge, it's more than a vessel, it's an ocean of pure nutrition. And so they make this alliance and they churn and churn and churn. They have to actually, it's so big they have to churn with a mountain. But they do, because they're gods and demons and they can do anything. And they churn and churn and churn. And a lot of things happen in the churning, and I'll go into that next week. But the most important part right now for us to understand is, it's the first thing that has to happen is there has to be an alliance between our so-called God self and our so-called demon self. There has to be an alliance between that in us which lives above ground and that which in us which lives in the shadow. There has to be an alliance between the qualities that we love and the qualities that we despise. There has to be an alliance between what is what is so-called good and what is so-called bad. Because as you all know, we tend to be very split. And we discard what, for whatever reason, has been deemed not appropriate to be part of us. And we throw it away. And the problem with that is we tend to discard some really vital, powerful, potent energy. And we need to make peace with everything inside of ourselves in order to really flourish. So, and that's really what the story is about. But that happens through churning. And this is what I think a lot of people don't really understand about the internal journey. It's not easy and it's not fun. It's churning. And we have to wrestle and churn with all the hard stuff inside of ourselves if we want to attain our most magnificent possibility. And remember, Lakshmi is the embodiment or the personification of our most magnificent possibility. So if you just think of, you know, just remember any time when you were there, it was just like, this is it. This is me. This is what I'm here for. This is just like, yes. And whatever triggers that experience inside. It could be anything. Sometimes, you know, in bed at night with the two cats, sometimes, you know, I'll just be reading and then I'll just like put the book down and I'll just look at the cats. And they're just all cuddled up and it's so nice. And I'm just, my heart is so full, it almost can explode in that moment. That's like Lakshmi. And that's just a teeny tiny example of a Lakshmi. That sense when everything is perfect, when everything is just yes with a capital Y, we're infused with what we call in yoga speak the Shakti of Lakshmi. When everything is in its most beautiful, beautiful alignment, and that could be whatever your beauty is. I heard this wonderful, wonderful On Being podcast. He's a computer scientist, which doesn't even begin to say what he is, but he's also really into Bach. And he was just talking about the symmetry in Bach, which I know, I mean, when I studied classical music for years and I played Bach, and I know exactly what he's talking about. And he just talked about the perfection. It's just off the charts perfection. And he was saying, you know, in mathematics, if it's true, it's beautiful. It may not necessarily look beautiful to whatever you might value beauty as, but if it's true, we consider it beautiful. And he said, you know, you find this in Bach, and it's true. Like, there's some really bizarre dissonance when you study some of the more complex counterpoint. Like some of the fugues, and there's four voices, and there's all these harmonic things going on. And sometimes there's real dissonance. But it's perfect. There's like no other way it could have been written. And this is what he was saying, because Bach, he was a genius. And all of his counterpoint was absolutely perfect. And in that perfection, even when it's dissonant and ugly to our ears, it's beautiful. And that's Lakshmi. Like, whatever our perfect alignment is, that's beautiful. And the more we allow ourselves to really experience that, the more we have this rising up inside of us of this incredible just sense of wonder and magnificence and grace, which is, again, what Lakshmi is, the embodiment of. So in the story, they're churning and they're churning and they're churning, and all these different things come up. Some lovely things, some not so lovely things, some really toxic poison comes up at one point. Again, we'll talk about that next week. But finally, up comes Lakshmi, and she comes rising up out of the ocean of milk, which you can also, how can I say, this meditation that we were doing in the beginning of class, it's that same sense. She comes up riding a lotus. So she comes up, she rises up out of this milky ocean, and she's sitting in this lotus. And here she is, the goddess of fabulousness, the goddess of the most supreme beauty, the goddess of infinite possibility, the goddess of abundance, expansive possibility. In some of the stories, she's holding the precious dew of life. In some of the stories, she is the precious dew of life. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is if you want to realize your Lakshmi self, you want to let your so-called God qualities and your so-called demon qualities really dance together. They have to work together. They have to make friends. That's what allows that transformational knitting together, that makes the good better and somehow the not good morphs into food for the good that's no longer toxic. I don't know if I'm saying that very well, but that's the best I can do. You know, we tend to be so split off because, I don't know, what's a good example? I can't even think of a good example. I've been in a good mood for so many weeks now, I forget what it was like. But you know, just like whatever, something you're ashamed about or something you're mad at, I don't know, you know, just whatever. But then if we're we have this idea we're supposed to be a certain way, and that doesn't fit the vibe of how we're supposed to be, and so we shut it away, and then it gets kind of toxic and yucky, and it's split off, and we're sort of unconscious, and we make really stupid choices because it's making us act, and we don't even know what's going on. You know what I'm saying. Welcome to human life. But when we open the door and allow whatever that yuckiness is to just have a little fresh air, and just sort of say, hey, how are you? Come on in. Let's sit down. Have a little tea. Make friends. That the force of that yuckiness begins just in that act of being embraced. The force of the yuckiness begins to transform because it feels better. Because at the end of the day, nobody wants to be thrown away. We don't want to be thrown away. You know, we throw away all this great stuff in ourselves. And so as we say hello and welcome whatever we've cast off, it knits itself into the fabric of our being. But because it's been welcomed, because it's been accepted, the toxic yuckiness dissipates. It's like compost. How much yucky, rotten, disgusting stuff have you thrown in your compost heap? And sooner or later, it becomes lovely, fertile soil. It's the same thing. That's a natural process. Everything wants to transform, and everything wants to transform into something wonderful. Everything wants to transform into its potential perfection, which is beauty, whatever that may be. And I think the more we trust that, and the only way we can trust it is by experiencing it over and over and over about 50 gazillion thousand times over quite a few years, and finally it's like, oh my God, okay, I get it. It actually really, it's true.